Being faithful today. Take your Bibles and go to Timothy. I love the book of Timothy. If you're able to stand, let's stand. We've been going through the ABCs of Christian growth. I know for some, it may be old hat, but you know what? There may be one or two here that really has had struggles with assurance of salvation. So, you know, God doesn't want you to be unsure. God wants you to be for sure, for certain, if you were to die. Why is that? Because we don't know when that time is going to come, do we? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy and verse 12. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Friends, we may fail, but God never fails. I'm thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your great salvation, the gift of salvation that, Lord, only you can provide. And I pray today, if there's one here that has been struggling with assurance of salvation, Lord, they'll get that settled even before they leave today. And they'll, Lord, be used of thee to bring others to your saving knowledge, Lord, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, but thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but have you ever doubted your salvation? I have heard some say yes, I've doubted, and I've heard others say I've never doubted my salvation, especially if you were saved at a young age, you have a tendency to doubt your salvation. How many, let's say, were saved below the age of 12? Raise your hand. Okay, several. I was saved at 10. And I wish I was like some of the people that said, I've never doubted a day of my salvation. But I can't say that I haven't, because I have. And 10 years old, you know, it's pretty young. But I know that it was real in my heart. And there's so many scriptures in the Word of God that God confirms our heart that salvation, once you receive that gift, you can never lose it. Amen. It is eternal salvation, everlasting salvation. Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he, and I think that's the key, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that. Paul was a murderer. He had a radical conversion, and you know, he used to drag people out and by the hair and try to destroy the church, but he got saved and he was totally changed. And salvation does that to a person. But when you're a young child and maybe you hadn't been into so many things, but you hear the gospel and you trust the Lord in faith and receive it, maybe as a child you're prone to say, I haven't done that much bad. I haven't done that much wrong. Even though you repented and got saved. But you know what? That's a good thing. Some of you have been saved later in life and you wish you'd have been saved so much younger. It would have saved you a lot of heartache, wouldn't it? A lot of regrets, if only you knew. But I'm thankful that we can be saved and we can know it for sure. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Toward the back of the Bible. It's a verse a lot of folks go to when dealing with assurance of salvation. And, you know, sometimes people, when they get saved, and you witness to them, they've already been saved. You ask them, are you 100% sure? And they may not know how to answer, or maybe they were at one time, but they forgot it. So in 1 John chapter 5, are you there? Let's read verse 10, starting out with verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. See, it's not in us. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? That word actually means absolute assurance. So you can have that blessed assurance. God wants you to have that. That ye can know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's a lot of people in this life, if you ask them, are you 100% sure if you died, you go to heaven? And they say, nobody can be sure. Yeah. That's what they say. But I can tell you this from God's Word, from the authority, this sole authority of this Holy Bible, that you can know with absolute assurance if you died today. And that's a wonderful thing, right? Because you don't know, like I said, when that time will come, your last breath. Some have told me, well, I'll just get saved on my deathbed. Well, you may not have that opportunity.
That's right.
I'm glad Charlie Kirk was saved. Amen. He knew the Lord and had a testimony. Bullet came and took him out, and they said he had already gone before he hit the ground. That's what they said. But I'm thankful that you can know for sure. You can have that blessed assurance. Here's a verse. Go over to Galatians. That'll help you to understand a little bit of this. Maybe there's someone here. Can I tell you this? You really can't have the blessed assurance of knowing for sure if you died, you go to heaven until you get saved.
Right.
You have to first make that decision to receive that gift. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. Well, we'll go over there in just a second. Back up to chapter 2. Reading this in my personal time, a Bible reading with the Lord in Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And that needs to be stressed. There's nothing you can do to gain salvation within yourself, right? You can. That's right, because we'd fail. We'd go to hell. You can't be justified by the works of the law. Now, he's talking in the context of circumcision, but none of these works will save us. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Pretty simple right there. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. I had a lady told me one time, she said she knew she was going to heaven because she kept all the Ten Commandments. She actually told me that. She was a passenger. We were taking her home after church one night on the van. I said, ma'am, we've all broke the Ten Commandments. That's not how you get saved. But it's not by keeping the law, justified by faith in Christ only, not by the works of the law. Look on. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, I'm this denomination or that denomination. The denomination won't save you, okay? Won't wash your sins away. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. I love this verse. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I just want to thank God for his great love. What did he do? He died on a cross for us, right? He hung on that tree. I have a replica of a Roman nail. It's an actual Roman nail replica. I have it in my office in there, and it's pretty strong. It's stout. To hold a big person on the cross or any full-grown man on a cross, hey, it had to be strong. Our Lord and Savior took those nails for us. Amen. It says here that He loved me and gave Himself for me. But this is a verse I want you to see. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in what? In vain. That ought to tell you right there that you can't be saved by your own works or yourself. Why did Christ die? Why did He get on that cross? If we could do it, and it, if you just flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I'm thankful that we can be saved, but it's through Jesus only. It's through believing in Jesus. It's not to do with anything of our own. Now, go over here to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I love this scripture when it's dealing with eternal salvation. John has a lot to say about it. In John chapter 10, verse 10. The devil wants you to doubt God's salvation. The devil wants you not to be assured. Can anybody give me a reason why the devil would want to throw these doubts at us? Anybody at all? Why does the devil sometimes cause people to doubt our salvation?
He's
a deceiver. He sure is, Leo. Okay, Amberly? Exactly, that was one on my heart, AJ. Oh, you didn't raise your hand. It was Tiffany. I'm sorry. Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, one, it makes you not want to tell anybody else because you're doubting it. Why would you tell anybody else?
That's exactly right. So it kind of gets back to what Amberly's saying. Render us useless or ineffective for the gospel's sake. If you're not sure you're saved, how are you going to help somebody else get that assurance? So that's good. All those are good. But in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal. So he wants to steal you away and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I love that verse. But let's run on down to verse 28. Jesus said this, and I give unto them what? And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Some people say, well, what about that person who commits suicide? What about that person that did something so bad, so evil, so wicked, they could never be saved? Well, he said, no man. So he would be a man, right? And so if a person has done something, then that goes against the Bible because no man, he said, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I'm thankful for that. That the God that gives salvation is greater than any man or any woman. You cannot lose your salvation. It is a free gift. Come on in. We're in John chapter 10. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what? One. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He's God Almighty. The Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answering them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? And so they didn't like it, because they didn't like the message that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. So we can trust our Father, right? We can trust Him. Go back to John 3. Talking about eternal life, how you can know it. You can know it. Well, it's not going to be based upon anything you do or I do. It's going to be based on receiving just the free gift of salvation. John chapter 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? That's right. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. I was born in Kentucky, raised in Florida, actually, but moved to Florida when I was a young boy. And in the summers, we had a farm there in Kentucky, and we had a crop, and we actually raised tobacco. My dad raised tobacco and had animals and all that kind of thing. And my grandmother's house was across the field, and we lived over here and in a farmhouse. And we would work really hard in the summertime, and we'd hoeing in the fields. How many of you did any farm work or ever hoed a crop? It's not easy. My dad would say, you start here and you go down to the other end. It was a long row, okay? A crop it was, and just harvesting the crop. I remember we have to cut the tobacco and stalk the tobacco and lay it in the barn so it could dry and such. And it was just hot, dirty summer work. But my dad liked to every now and then go swimming. He liked to get in the pond, and there was a Tandy pond. It's a family friend that they had. In the winter, we'd ice skate on that pond. But in the summer, we would go out there and swim and just have a good time. And there was a floating dock out there in the water. And my mom and dad, they were always cautious of kids. We had two siblings, my brother and my sister. And they were always cautious to put life jackets on us. And so he said, come on, kids, we're going swimming. And so put my life jacket on, you know, these old orange life jackets that strap up around your neck. And load up, and we're going to go to the Tandy Pond and go swimming. You've worked hard. It's awful hot. So we go out there, and my brothers and sister are older, so they're swimming along and going out to the dock. And my dad, of course, he didn't wear a life jacket. And so he would go out there and just have fun swimming around with the kids. Well, it came this day that something different happened. I was jumping around, jumping off that floating dock, and my dad said, come here. And so he brought me over and he took my life jacket off. And I didn't know what he was doing. My dad was strong in his younger days, and he took me up in his arm. He threw me out in the water. And you know what? I learned to swim that day. I learned to swim good. I was just a little boy, little fella, probably 7, 8 years old, you know. And shortly after that, we moved to Florida. And in Florida, we went to the beach a lot. There was springs, rock springs we used to swim in, and all kinds of alligator-infested lakes and everything. We grew up in Central Florida, and there was a lot of swimming required, but we'd go to the beach, you know. I remember one time, this is a true story, I was out in the ocean and no life jacket on, okay? And something huge came up and scrubbed up around me. I don't know. It was huge, I'm telling you. And you talk about somebody swimming fast. I'm telling you, it's just, bam, you're getting out of that water quick. So, but there's times in springs, and rip tides in Florida were common, and we had to swim a lot. I guess that's why when our kids were coming up, we liked to go to the ocean. We still like to go to the ocean to swim. But you know, I didn't know then that God was even later on in life preparing me to be a good swimmer for whatever reason. But God took care of us and he prepared us. But you know what? My dad had me. I knew I could trust my dad. And no matter if he threw me out there in the water, if I were going to go under, he would have rescued me. He would have jumped in. You know, a sweeter story is your heavenly Father's up in heaven. Your Savior's on the right hand of the Lord, of the Father. You have the Holy Spirit living within you, and he's not going to let you drown. He hadn't taught you to swim to let you drown. Well, he has not saved you to let you go to hell, okay? When you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he's got you in his hand. But you first have to get in his hand. You first have to trust the Lord. How do you do that? Well, You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's wonderful to know. We are going to sin, right? We are going to sin. As a Christian, you're going to sin. What do? Go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. But just because you sin doesn't mean you're lost. People say, well, I must have never got saved because I keep on sinning, okay? Now, God doesn't want us to continue on sinning. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What? God forbid. He wants us to grow in grace, but you will fall and you will fail God and you will come short of the glory of God. For sure, we've all done that. 1 John 1, 8. And 9, this is what we do when we're Christian, born-again Christian, and we sin. Well, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, humble yourself, right? It don't hurt to say, hey, I've failed you, Lord. It doesn't hurt to say, Holy Spirit, I've quenched your spirit, I've resisted your spirit. I've let you down. I've committed maybe sins. I've committed sins of commission, sins of omission, things that you've omitted to do. I think we all ought to have a clean slate before the Lord. But because you sin doesn't mean that you have lost your salvation. But what it does mean, you need to make it right. Amen. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What about Peter? What about Peter? He failed the Lord. I mean, he was brokenhearted over it. I think Peter was already saved. He had already been called out, and he was following the Lord Jesus. He was a fisherman, and he was growing. But that little maid, remember when Jesus was being led to be crucified, the little maid said, as he warmed himself by the fire, he says, oh, I know you. You were with them. Peter said, I know not the man. Mm-hmm. He failed 3 times, but when he saw the eyes of Jesus, he went out and wept bitterly. I believe that he was already saved, but he just failed. He failed God. So, you know, some people, some religions, have you ever heard this? Church, I've got to pray through. I've got to pray. I've got to endure into the end. I've got to do that. Friends, that's talking about end time prophecy right there, okay? That's not talking about you just have to endure to the end to stay saved. I'm thankful that once you're saved, you're always saved. And yes, Brother Bob Adams, we do get saved by faith, don't we? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. But that verse in Galatians, go back there. Galatians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So why did he have to die if we could save ourselves or we could work something up? How much? How much do you have to work? Baptism cannot save anybody. You go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner, right? Baptism has nothing to do with your sins being forgiven. Only the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. Amen. But it shows that you are saved when you follow the Lord in baptism. It's in obedience to His command. So I'm thankful that there's only one way of salvation, and that is to accept the free gift. You can be redeemed by Jesus. Go to one more passage. Go to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I'll just stop right there. You know, once you're in God's family, He won't throw you out. He says, all that come to me, I'll no wise what? Cast out. He says, I give unto them eternal life in John 10, and they shall never perish. What's that word never mean? It means never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, can you be lost. But Satan wants to put that doubt a lot of time in your heart. Now, I'm not saying if the Holy Spirit convicts you and you realize there was not a time in your life when you were sincere and you heard the Word of God. I'm not saying that it's not good to get that settled. It is good to get it settled once and for all, that you're saved and you know you're saved. But some of you had that time in your life you could go back to, and you heard the gospel and you asked for forgiveness and you trusted Jesus Christ by faith, and yet down the road, maybe because of circumstances or some sin in your life, you got to doubting your salvation. Can I tell you, once the Lord does something, He does it for good, okay? Right. He does. It's sealed. He says, in whom, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood. It was not in vain. His death was not in vain. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And He's accepted you. Now, when your children mess up, there's consequences to sin, right? And it makes you sad. It makes you sorry. Wish things hadn't happened that way. But they'll always be your children, won't they? And you won't cast them out. When your mother had you, when you were born, May 16th, 1959, I was born in LaGrange, Kentucky. Hey, it was a one-time thing, physically. You know, when you get born again, spiritually, it is a one-time birth, second birth. You know, it's born again. And you don't have to keep on asking. Well, you're going down the road, you're saved, you leave the church house and you're saved, and you look at a billboard and you have some kind of bad thought in your mind, and oh my goodness, what did I just do? Where'd that thought come from? I can tell you, it came from the devil, right? And then, oh, I must have sinned. I have to get saved again. No. When you're born into God's family, praise God, it's once and forever. It's eternal. Not 1 week, not 1 day, not 1 month, not 1 year. It's forever secured in heaven. By anything we did? No, sir. No way. What's it based on? What Jesus did. It's all what He did. And then we just receive that free gift of salvation. It's the greatest gift. Amen. If you're not saved, what would I do if I were you and you're not saved? I would realize I'm a sinner, number one, right? And we're undone. And there is a punishment for our sin. And that's death and hell. But aren't you glad Jesus took that? Why did He do it, brothers and sisters? Because He loves us. He loves us so much. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And so I would realize that I was a sinner. And I would ask Him to forgive me of all my sin. And I would simply, by faith, trust in Jesus and call on Jesus to give me that free gift of salvation. And you know what? That blood was shed for every single person, wasn't it? Not just pastors. It was shed for the world. For all to be saved, Brother Oliver. Doesn't matter which country you're in. His blood is enough to wash away all of our sin. And so if we'll just receive that blood, you know, and say, Lord, I'm talking about what that blood stands for, right? In the Philippines, they actually crucify themselves, don't they, on a holiday? And they get up on a cross and they go through that, the beating and all of that. Isn't that sad? That people are trying to pay for their own sins when Jesus, the Son of God, has already paid the price in full. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. So I would recognize I was a sinner, and I wouldn't let it, I would not let that time go by, because today is the day of salvation. Go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to one more. One more won't hurt you. It's all good, right? Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now, if you already have been saved and you have assurance of salvation, you know what it'd be good to do? It'd be good for you to thank God today for the assurance that He's given you. It would be good. How long's it been since you've thanked the Lord that I have peace in my heart? I mean, I've seen people saved on their deathbed, but those are very few. 2 Corinthians 6, are you there? Look at verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. What's that word mean? It has to do with giving relief and comfort. I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So if you're not saved, if you don't have that, you won't have assurance if you're not saved. Why don't you get that settled today? Why not today? There's no better day to be saved, right? You walk out of these doors saying, I accepted Jesus today. You say, could I do that? You can do that. You can do that today. And you can know for sure if something happens to you. That tract that we have back there, it says, are you 100% sure you will go to heaven? Well, you can be. You say it's pretty simple on our part. Yeah, it sure is. But our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son. That was hard. You know, Jesus died on that cross. That was hard. He took those nails. That was hard. He took the sin of the world. He bore our sin in His body on the tree. That was hard. He was separated from the Father. That was hard. He tasted death for every man. Yeah, I mean, he went to the cross. It was joy to him to go to the cross, but it was hard. He sweat great drops, as it were, great drops of blood. And he did it because, here it is, Brother Bob, he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And so you can rest in your salvation if you've been saved, and you can rest in His Word. You say, how do you know? Because Brother Hardesty told me I could be saved once saved and always saved. No, that's not it. It's God said it right here. Now, I've just given you a lot of verses where God said you can know. And it's eternal life. You don't have to keep getting saved every Sunday. You know, it's sad, isn't it? I had an army friend, and he was Pentecostal. And he believed in Jesus. He believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He believed Jesus shed His blood for us. He believed that you could get saved and go to heaven, have your sins forgiven. He believed all of that, but he still believed that you could lose it. And I tried to show him. I said, you know, you have money in the bank, but you don't even know it. You have spiritual, eternal life, but you don't realize it. How could a person not realize that once they get in here, find the authority of what God says? Well, we could go to more verses in Romans, right? They're great verses in the book of Romans, the Romans road. But we're going to let you go right now. And if there's someone in here today that doesn't realize they're going to hell, doesn't realize they need this and that assurance, and you want to ask more questions, why don't you come in my office? I'll be in there, and you can get saved today. And I'll help bring you to Jesus. I can't save you, but I can bring you to Jesus, right? I can say, come and see. But don't put Him off if the Lord's speaking to your heart. You taste of the Lord and see that He is good. I'm thankful that I can't undo. I can't lose my salvation because God's got me. He's got me in His hands. And I'm not going to drown. Amen. I'm not going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell, and I am thankful to God Almighty that I'm not going to hell. Amen.
That's right.
Hell's an awful place. You can't get out, friends. I told somebody after I joined the Army, shortly in the Army, I said, I'm never going to get myself into something I can't get out of again. You know, but you don't have to get out of salvation because He's got you. It's a free gift. And so, I'm thankful for eternal salvation. Let's stand together and be dismissed. You want to see us, talk to us, have any questions, please get that settled today. You know, this. I'm told, and then I'm going to pray, that there's a middle place in the Bible. In the King James Bible, there's all kinds of versions out there, and it's, some people say it is, some people says it's not. But in Psalm 118, have you ever heard this verse? This is the day the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. You ever heard that verse?
Yes, sir.
Psalms 118. I was just thinking of this. They say that's the middle center of the Bible, Psalms 118. You know, that verse, if you look at it, is not just saying, okay, it's Sunday, it's the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know what, Brother Meyer, what it's talking about? The day you come to Christ, the day you get saved, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's a joyful day when you get saved. Amen. All that, it's relief. Amen. It's peace because you're on your road to heaven and you have Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and blessed and thankful to know for sure, to have that peace and assurance. If we had a heart attack or a car wreck today, Lord, if we give up the ghost, Lord, that absent from the body is present with the Lord. And I'm thankful that we have that, Lord. I'm thankful that You did what was necessary. You took care of all the punishment for sin, and You took care of that debt, Lord, and You loved us anyway, and You were willing, Jesus, to go to the cross and go all the way because You loved us. You not only died for us and was buried, but Lord, You rose again the third day that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And You do hold the keys, Lord, to death and hell. I'm thankful for Your eternal salvation. Lord, may Christians here who have been saved, no matter what age or time in their life, they can go back to a place. May they have joy in their heart that's settled. And Lord, I pray if there's one or two here that's not for sure, Lord, that they will settle that before it's everlasting, too late. And Lord, they'll come to Jesus. They'll come to You for that great gift of salvation. And we are so thankful. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.